Welcome to Triad Arts Up Close. I'm David Ford. You know, most days, for an arts junkie like me, hosting this show is like being a pig in slop. But today, on Triad Arts Up Close, I'll be a pig in luxury slop, because today we've got three, count them, three of the best bands around, and two of them will join me live in Studio A. Plus, we get to go grab our guns with Annie, compliments of Stained Glass Playhouse, and sing songs with a beautiful mermaid, thanks to Children's Theater of Winston-Salem. Patterson Hood and the Downtown Rumblers, His Golden Messenger with MC Taylor, and the Darnell Woodies. Now, what could be better than that? Yep, just like a pig in slop, next on Triad Arts Up Close. The Southeastern Center for Contemporary Arts Crossroads Concert Series continues tonight at 8 o'clock at SECA. It'll be an incredible evening of live music in an intimate setting that you do not want to miss. First, it's Durham-based MC Taylor and His Golden Messenger. David Bowie described MC's latest LP, Poor Moon, as mystical country, like an eerie yellowing photograph. We'll hear MC live in Studio A on the second half of the show. And then, as if that isn't enough, it's the Grammy Award-winning Athens, Georgia-based singer, songwriter, producer, and frontman for the Drive-By Truckers, Patterson Hood, and the Downtown Rumblers. Crossroads is the brainchild of professional photographer and music industry writer Andy Tenniel. His work has been featured in Rolling Stone, NPR Music, and The Washington Post, just to name a few. And he's got a great ear for quality music of all styles, and thankfully for us, he's been putting those golden ears to work and selecting the best of the best for Crossroads. The Wake Forest University grad just returned from a European road trip with none other than Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers. He's their tour photographer and documentarian, and his amazing work with Tom has landed him and the band a Webby Award nomination. Last dance with Mary Jane, one more time to kill. How'd you hook up with Tom?
I took some photos of Tom and the Heartbreakers when they headlined the Austin City Limits Festival in Austin, Texas in 2007.
That's a good one.
Yeah, great festival. And that night before the Heartbreakers went on, it was a complete and utter downpour. During the first song, which I believe was Listen to Her Heart, Mike Campbell stepped to the lip of the stage and played a guitar solo. And the rain was kind of falling down on top of him, and I took a picture and got to know some of the people in their management team, and as a way of thanking them for giving me access to shoot the pictures and everything, I sent the thumbnails and then sent that particular image high resolution and said, do with it what you'd like. And so when the opportunity came up in 2010, their management team wanted to have someone go out and document the tour for the band. And the band member said, what about the guy who took that picture of Mike Campbell? And so my phone rang on a Wednesday night. It was an opportunity offered to go and tour with them in 2010, their entire North American tour, which was 48 dates over 6 months. The moral of the story is always send a thank you note and make sure you answer the phone after 9 p.m. on a Wednesday, because it might be Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers calling.
You never know. What do you see for the Southeastern Center for Contemporary Art, and then, of course, Crossroads being a natural extension of that?
Well, the mission statement for SECA is to enhance perspectives, inspire community, and ignite ideas at the intersection of art and you, kind of serving as that community hub for interacting with contemporary art. So, you know, with the Crossroads series, we tried to kind of beg and borrow a little bit from that mission statement and really want to present artists on a very, very intimate venue there at SECA and try and create a dialogue either between, you know, an opening act and a headliner, or perhaps an artist and an exhibition at SECA, or, you know, in the case of Preservation Hall Jazz Band, a great New Orleans musical tradition, and we had a local restaurateur come and do New Orleans cuisine, so it was kind of an intersection of food and music. And that was kind of the goal for Crossroads as we started it, and that's continued to be the goal as we've moved forward.
When you just need a place to hide out for a while, I'll help you hide the bodies in a little while.
You know, I've been friends with Patterson Hood and have mentioned to Patterson over the years, I'd really like to get you to come and do this. And MC Taylor, who's the creative genius behind His Golden Messenger, who's opening the fifth concert. And Patterson, being the humble guy that he is, would never offer this. But Patterson comes from a very, very rich musical background. His father, David Hood, was the bass player in the Muscle Shoals rhythm section, which went by the nickname the Swampers. If you ever heard the Lynyrd Skynyrd song Sweet Home Alabama, they reference the Swampers in it. So music has been in his blood for a long, long time, and he's been writing songs since, I think he told me, you know, his early teens. The people he writes about, some of them aren't the most friendly of people. You might not want them living next door to you, but they're vivid. They seem very, very real. And to get that across in a 3-minute, 5-minute song, and to be able to develop a character that well, such that, you know, you can visualize those characters very, very easily, that's a huge talent. Not only Patterson, but his bandmates in the Drive-By Truckers, specifically his partner in crime, Mike Cooley, who's been with them for 20-something years, they always put on a great show, regardless of the venue, regardless of the cities.
That's professional photographer, music industry writer, and Southeastern Center for Contemporary Art, Crossroads Concert Series director, Andy Tenniel. Tonight at 8 o'clock, Crossroads presents frontman for the Grammy Award-winning Drive-By Truckers, Patterson Hood, and the Downtown Rumblers. Opening for the band will be MC Taylor and His Golden Messenger. We'll hear from both artists, and you'll find links to ticket information, sponsors, and more on our website at wfdd.org/triadarts. And you don't want to miss the rest of our show today, because coming up in the second half, it'll be the Darnell Woodies live in Studio A with selections from their brand spanking new CD, Dancing on Your Grave. And MC Taylor of His Golden Messenger will join us live in Studio A as well. But first, it's a close-up look at the inner workings of another amazing songwriter.
When they fall out, Uncle Disney, all this town's gonna be just fine.
Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Patterson Hood of the Drive-By Truckers will be headlining Crossroads at Sika No. 5 with his Downtown Rumblers tonight at 8. Patterson's new solo album, Heat, Lightning, Rumblers in the Distance, is due out September 11th on ATO Records. Patterson spoke with me by phone from his home sweet home in Athens, Georgia.
Cartoon cures for all our cancers, thunder clouds in the Florida sky.
What are you thinking about when you sing Uncle Disney? What's your mindset when you're in that tune?
I wrote that song before I had kids, but I always dedicate it to my kids because, like, you know, like all kids, they love those Disney cartoons, you know, and I did too as a kid. I was about as into all of that as you could possibly be. And then you get a little older and you kind of learn the dark side of the Disney thing too a little bit, you know, because it's a little bit of a fascist vision where everything works real well, but you give up something in return for that that sometimes can be pretty important. And of course, writing about themes like that and something that is almost borderline a children's song is its own, I guess, challenge. But although I don't know if this children's song aspect of it occurred to me when I was writing it, but it certainly, when I was scrambling for things that I could sing to my kids that, you know, don't have F-bombs or murders in it, that song is one of my better ones. So, and of course, the reoccurring theme in my writing over and over is duality. And so that's, you know, that's the duality of the Disney thing.
When they fall out, Uncle Disney, it's a roll, I'm afraid. Someone will be held accounted for 50 years of decisions made.
As a music lover, I'm always appreciative when someone finds their own voice, and wondering whether that whole process of getting that Patterson Hood, that sound, that vocal sound, was something that you struggled with, came natural. Talk about that journey for me.
Yeah, the writing always came real natural. I started writing when I was too young to have doubts about it or standards that I felt like I had to live up to. You know, none of that existed when I started writing because I was 8. It was like February of 1973. You know? and from then on, I wrote every day. And
wow.
I was 8. I kind of think I probably had them in my head before that, but just didn't know what they were, so it didn't occur to me to write them down.
And I'd rather be wrong than have it all be gone.
I was a pretty unhappy kid in a lot of ways. I had a real strange childhood, and there were moments that were like kind of idyllic in the extreme, but there were also a lot of times that were really kind of lousy. And particularly the time that I spent like at school, I was a terrible student, and I was not liked by the other kids, and I didn't fit in at all, and was kind of even bullied and stuff a lot. And so that was my outlet. That was my escape from it. I could go into that little place in my head where the songs lived and stay there all day and just write. And that's how I dealt with it. Playing never came easy for me. I feel like I've become a pretty good guitar player in the last 5 years. And I've worked really, really hard at that. I felt like for years that I was able to write well enough to lure better players than I to play with me, and enabled me to kind of coast for a long time. And that became unacceptable to me about 5 or 6 years ago. And I started working really hard at kind of reinventing myself as a player and as a singer.
Those long black glasses, raise your tongue and southern drawl, pouring out like my.
I never really set out to be a singer, but I couldn't find anybody who was willing to sing my songs, so I kind of had to teach myself. And I had a very unfortunate voice as a starting place to teach myself from. I didn't have much of a range or, you know, the kind of voice that made notes sound pretty. And so I kind of had to work and work and work at it just to get it to where it was listenable.
Huh.
And ironically, I actually have a pretty decent range now for someone with as raspy a voice as I have. But it's been just, you know, one note at a time.
Wow.
You know, I feel like I'm making strides here at an age where a lot of artists start losing it.
Chasing bugs in your granny's yard before you disappeared into time and space.
The caliber of players in this band, the Truckers, are really pretty incredible. And now I've got my other band that I'm coming up to Winston-Salem with, the
Downtown Rumblers.
You know, the Downtown Rumblers are, you know, they're all phenomenal players too. And actually, one of them has some pretty deep roots, I think, in your area. Jacob Morris went to school up there, and I think his parents live in Winston-Salem. He plays cello with me, and he's just. Golly, he's an amazing player.
Yeah, I was just really enjoying, you know, some of that that playing online. I guess it was, I think it was Disappear was the tune. Maybe mm-hmm. wondering what drew you to that voice, that cello sound in your music.
I've always loved it. I would have utilized it earlier if I'd had access to a cello player earlier, probably. I've always loved it. And then I stumbled on Jacob playing. Actually, about three or four. I went out like 3 or 4 different times in a row, and each time I go out, I'd see a different band, and he would be playing with them. I go, God, there's that guy again. There's that guy. He's great. So I kind of tracked him down and found out his name, and, you know, started courting him.
Can you talk me through Disappear?
That particular song kind of is about a good bit about my childhood. You know, becoming invisible is kind of a symbolism for that state of mind I'd be in where I would go to write songs. You know, when I would, you know, I'd be sitting in class, but I just wouldn't be there anymore. And in the context of this record, it deals with being older and having a family now. It's then having to learn how not to disappear sometimes. You know, how to turn that off, because, you know, sometimes it freaks the kids out when daddy vanishes. And so it's kind of open-ended enough to where it might not be about that at all to someone else. But that's what inspired it to me.
Beneath the bedroom window, sometimes I disappear. I've learned to at an early age.
That singer, songwriter, producer, and frontman for the Grammy Award-winning Drive-By Truckers, Patterson Hood. His third solo album, Heat, Lightning, Rumblers in the Distance, is due out September 11th on ATO Records. Patterson, along with the Downtown Rumblers, including the Triad Zone cellist Jacob Morris, will be headlining Crossroads at Sika No. 5 tonight at 8 o'clock. Opening for the band will be His Golden Messenger, the performing moniker of celebrated Durham-based songwriter MC Taylor. MC's got his guitar, and he'll be joining me live in Studio A on the second half of our program.
We'll also join the Darnell Woodies there live. They've got a new CD, Dancing on Your Grave, and they're just itching to share some of it with us live. And our good old friend Peter Karoff will be here to talk WC. If you just joined us, you're listening to Triad Arts Up Close. I'm David Ford, and it's time to go get your gun with Annie and the fine folks at Stained Glass Playhouse. The hit musical with music and lyrics by Irving Berlin opens tonight, and it'll run through August 5th with evening shows at 8 and weekend matinees at 3. Annie Oakley is the best shot around, and she manages to support her little brother and sisters by selling the game she hunts. When she's discovered by Colonel Buffalo Bill, he persuades this rookie sharpshooter to join his Wild West show. Annie falls head over heels for the dashing shooting ace headliner Frank Butler. But when she aces out Butler for the top spot, things get a bit testy. And then there's the unbeatable music by Irving Berlin. There's no business like show business. Anything you can do, and you can't get a man with a gun, just to name a few. Stained Glass actors Kelly Flick, who plays Annie, and Brandon Lloyd Hicks, who plays Frank, drop by WFDD to fill us in, along with director Gretchen Hall and musical director Katrina Fitzer.
Just how good was Annie, Annie? I'm talking to Kelly Flick.
She toured all over Europe. She won awards all over Europe. She actually made it her goal to make sure that every woman she met learned how to shoot a gun, because she thought it was very important for women to know how to shoot, which I actually recently just did for the first time because I wanted to kind of know what it was like to be Annie Oakley.
How about that?
So I went and shot a gun for the first time.
Good for you. And what was that experience like for you?
Terrifying and awesome. Mm. I was a little bit nervous, but they told me I did well. Didn't kill anything. Didn't shoot my foot. So I think it turned out well. Okay. I did discover I do have one thing in common with Annie Oakley, and that's I can shoot left or right-handed.
How about that?
She was ambidextrous.
Like, I found I can shoot underneath my leg.
Wow.
Yeah, and from behind my back. But that's with the fake gun on stage.
Yeah, let's not talk about what we
got no diamond, got no pearl, still I think I'm a lucky girl. I got the sun.
The thing about Annie Oakley is that she's such a pure spirit. You know, she doesn't really know about anything about the world.
On the polar end of that, you get Frank Butler, who's this world-wise guy who's a traveler and seems to know a little bit of everything.
He's never met anybody like Annie Oakley. She's a sharpshooter. She can do anything he can do, and she tells him she can do it better.
'Cause she can. Anything you can do, I can do better. I can do anything better than you.
No, you can't.
Yes, I can.
No, you can't.
Yes, I can.
No, you can't.
Yes, I can. Yes, I can.
Anything you can be, I can be greater. Sooner or later, I'm greater than you.
No, you're not.
Yes, I am.
No, you're not.
Yes, I am.
No, you're not.
Yes, I am. Yes, I am. I can shoot a partridge with a single cartridge.
I can get a sparrow with a bow and arrow.
I can live on bread and cheese.
And only on that?
Yes.
So can a rat.
Anything you can sing, I can sing higher.
I can sing anything higher than you.
No, you can't.
Yes, I can.
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 So, Katrina, we got a little taste of the music, I Can Do Anything. As a vocal coach, as a music director, what are the things that you need to have happen in that, just from a technical perspective, in order for it to be effective for the audience member listening?
I mean, we've talked about numerous things, as in bright and brassy, as well as, you know, the classic theatrical rounded sounds throughout. And so you'll hear numerous colors within the actors of the show, and they've done a great job.
You really do get that the variety of colors from that,
yeah,
little nuanced kind of little conversation,
exactly,
happening. Suddenly she's a belter and really screaming,
mm-hmm,
it out there.
And she shows every color. She has jazzy sounds. She has bright and brassy Ethel Merman sounds, and as well as that good old country hit coming out.
Folks like us could never fuss with schools and books and learning. Still we've gone from A to Z to
It is all.
I'm cool, brave, and daring to see a line of glaring when I'm out with my Remington.
But You Can't Get a Man with a Gun is one of the best examples of classic yodeling, singing, folk, country music. Irving Berlin is an incredible composer.
With a gun, with a gun, though you can't get.
If you've just joined us, this is Triad Arts Up Close. I'm David Ford, And I've been talking to Stained Glass actors Kelly Flick, who plays Annie, and Brandon Lloyd Hicks, who plays Frank, in the Irving Berlin classic Annie, Get Your Gun. Musical director Katrina Fitzer is here, too, along with director Gretchen Hall. The show opens tonight at the Playhouse in Winston-Salem, and you'll find links to more on our website, wfdd.org/triadarts. Okay, we're going to take a short break, and singer-songwriter MC Taylor joins me live in Studio A. Stay with us. Welcome back. This is Triad Arts Up Close. I'm David Ford, and later today we'll hear Take My Gun Away by the dynamic Darnell Woodies. It's off of their new CD, Dancing on Your Grave, and the Woodies will be live in Studio A to share it with us coming up on the second half of the show. Patterson Hood and the Downtown Rumblers will be headlining the Crossroads Concert Series performances tonight at the Southeastern Center for Contemporary Art in Winston-Salem. Opening for the Rumblers will be His Golden Messenger, led by my next guest, Mr. MC Taylor. MC is one of the finest songwriters in America today. The band's fourth release, titled Paper Moon, was given a nod by none other than David Bowie, who calls it mystical country, like an eerie yellowing photograph. Today, we'll be sampling from Poor Moon and talk about it with singer-songwriter MC Taylor. He joined me live in Studio A.
Tell me your day, little wandering one. A friend said to me,
just some things that grab me. When my ship comes in, I'm going to lose control. I'm not going to dance till my ship comes in. But what's your ship coming in that case?
I'm not sure. It could be anything. It could be good tidings and good fortune. Or it could be the catastrophe that I've been waiting for. It could be something final that has yet to arrive, but I know is imminent. I mean, it's a song about uncertainness and insecurity, I think. And it's a kind of reckoning with this kind of force, maybe, that is, I understand, to be bigger than myself, but that's all I understand so far.
Does the birth of your son come into play in this song at all?
I think that my son's name is Elijah. He's almost 3 and a half. His arrival influenced all of Poor Moon, certainly, because all of a sudden I was concerned with a whole different set of worries or situations. It's been wonderful. I love him so much. And he changed my life for the better. And so I suspect his arrival is one of the reasons why this set of songs, and certainly the songs that we've recorded since Poor Moon, because we've recorded another record, are really sort of thorny set of issues or thoughts about how we can't be sure of anything. Nothing is guaranteed.
Yeah. Of mortality, and then the inherent good in a little person like that don't see any other way.
Oh, yeah. It's really beautiful.
Well, let's hear a little bit of, if we can, Call Him Daylight.
Sure.
And thanks for bringing your guitar to Studio A.
You're welcome. Here we go.
Hey there, big as night, think I'll call him daylight. And I'll call him once with a little song. Oh, he's got nothing on, comes naked with the dawn. And I know that I will call him daylight. Knock once and now knock twice. Sacrifice to the one that they call daylight. Thank you. All those in my own friend been a long time coming. I called all night and I was afraid. You come at such a time as you see fit, no compromise. That's why I call you daylight. Well, I'm moving nevermore, though our children go. Some call you destroyer, some daylight. I'm not gonna dance. Well, I'm not gonna dance. Well, I'm not gonna dance until my ship comes in. But when my ship comes in, whoa, when my ship comes in, whoa, when my ship comes in, I'm gonna lose control.
I really enjoy this tune. We just heard a gorgeous, just you and your guitar arrangement of this. And I enjoyed the studio recording with your band, His Golden Messenger, just that driving bass line, much like the Blue Country Mystic. And just talk about creating a great groove.
Well, I have what I consider to be the greatest rhythm section in the Southeast. Scott Hirsch, who plays the bass on the Golden Messenger records, is someone that I've been working with for 20 years, since we were kids, pretty much. We grew up in a tour van together, so he's very good at reading me and my musical thoughts with very few words. Our musical influences are in sync. We're often listening to the same records without talking about it. He lives in Brooklyn now. I live in Durham. He flies down a lot, and we do a lot of recording together. And our drummer, Terry Lonergan, who actually lived in Winston for ages, lives in Durham now, and he's just an absolutely phenomenal drummer. I mean, he's sort of steeped in that style of Southern American drumming that I just love, and I almost feel like you have to be from the South to be able to do it.
Well, I'm not gonna dance until my ship comes in. When my ship comes in, when my ship comes in, when my ship comes in, I'm gonna lose.
What does that do to you, MC, the performer, when you're up on stage and you know you're surrounded with these guys that you've been playing with for years, in terms of the feeling, the confidence, or just the state of mind?
It's helpful for me as a musician because it allows me to focus only on my parts. I don't have to think about what anyone else is doing. I know that they've got my back, so to speak. It's very liberating.
Jesus Shot Me in the Head. My initial thought was an interesting way of saying an epiphany, or, you know, a born-again moment.
That's what it's a play on.
Yeah.
You hear, you know, you hear this. People are often talking about their conversions, their rebirths in this heightened language that I sometimes find a little silly. At the same time, I have complete respect for people that experience a rebirth in that way. That's wonderful.
Sure. This is Jesus Shot Me in the Head, and MC's playing right here live in Studio A. Here we go.
I'm bound for Nazareth town with all those mistakes I made. God is good and it's understood, but he moves in mysterious ways. He sought on my father, on woman, rough and muddy fence. In fact, I was getting wrecked in a Motel 6 when he showed up in the bath. So goodbye, sweet Genevieve. Now goodbye, my Tulsa fan. Oh, everybody, did you hear the news? Jesus shot me in the head. Just as well I was gone to hell. Oh, I'd wasted everything. Oh, no more shooting pool, no getting done. No, no, I'm gonna see the king.
Gosh, great to hear that live in studio, MC. Thanks so much for playing that for us.
Sure.
That was we just heard Jesus Shot Me in the Head, and just MC and his guitar here in the studio. And you'll get a chance to hear that and several other tunes from Poor Moon and any from the new CD project?
Yes, I believe we are going to play a couple of the new songs and maybe a song or two not on Poor Moon.
Great. Well, MC, thanks so much for stopping by and talking with me today. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Friend said to me,
that singer, songwriter, producer, and frontman for His Golden Messenger, MC Taylor. We've been sampling from their fourth album, Poor Moon, today, but you can hear them live in concert tonight at 8 during the Crossroads Concert Series, concert number 5, at the Southeastern Center for Contemporary Art in Winston-Salem. The band will include Megaphone's Brad and Phil Cook and Nathan Bowles from the Black Twig Pickers. His Golden Messenger opens for frontman of the Grammy Award-winning Drive-By Truckers, Patterson Hood, and his Downtown Rumblers. Doors open at 6, so you can check out Sika's 3 world-class exhibits, Paperless, Light and Space, and Curtis Mann, Modifications. You can linger over good food and drink and get set for an amazing evening of music-making live in Sika's intimate auditorium. This is Triad Arts Up Close. I'm David Ford, and we're going to take another short break. Then, in just about 60 seconds, it's time to get a better understanding of classical music, particularly the exotic, ethereal, and elusive sounds of one Claude Debussy with pianist and educator Peter Karoff. Then we'll take a short break from the man who gave us the earth-shattering La Mer for orchestra and dive into calmer theatrical seas with A Little Mermaid as our guide. It's the Children's Theater of Winston-Salem, Karoff at the keyboard, and the Darnell Woodies live in Studio A next when Triad Arts Up Close continues. Welcome back to Triad Arts Up Close. I'm David Ford. We've got Little Mermaid, 101 Dalmatians, and the Darnell Woodies live in Studio A coming on the second half of our show. But right now, it's time to pay a visit to our good friend, pianist, and Wake Forest University professor of music, Peter Karoff. It's a little old segment we like to call Understanding Classical Music with Karoff at the keyboard.
That's such beautiful stuff. Music of Claude Debussy. Debussy is known as a musical impressionist. I hasten to add that Debussy hated that term himself. He didn't like to think of himself as an impressionist, just as a French composer. But the fact is, there's a lot about visual impressionism that can shed some light on Debussy's music. Now, I don't know if you can bring to mind a beautiful impressionist painting with all of these beautiful short brushstrokes juxtaposed one next to the other. They sort of blend in the viewer's eye, as it were. You take a step back and suddenly that what looks up close like a bunch of blobs becomes a gorgeous cathedral in the moonlight. Well, Debussy does some of that kind of thing, except in musical terms. Instead of a little blob of red and a little blob of green that then blend together in your eye, watch what he does. Here he'll take a G-flat chord and an F minor chord, maybe throw in a little E flat, mix it up, and he'll superimpose them one on the other. And those beautiful harmonies then kind of blend, as it were, in our ear, not in our eyes. So there's something about Debussy's technique that makes that impressionist label stick. The other thing about Debussy's music that strikes me is that quite often many, many of the titles have a visual element to them. For example, Clair de Lune, Moonlight. just the very title makes us hear it differently. It evokes a visual as well as an aural sensation. This idea, this sort of synesthesia, you know, that word, that the idea that we can combine the hearing and the visual in a kind of unified sensation, that really appealed to Debussy. Here's another piece called Reflections in the Water. And again, it's a visual title that invites us to not just hear, but also to see. And then we can practically hear the drops in the little pond. I have to say that Debussy was really quite a musical innovator, just in terms of the purely technical side of things. The kinds of harmonies he used, the kinds of rhythms he used, really were innovative for their time and really point the way toward the next generation of the modernist composers. Now, they don't sound as harsh as a Stravinsky or a Bartok, perhaps, but listen to this harmony. Beautiful, beautiful. But let's look at it. It's an A major chord. And wait a second, what's this doing here? It's an A flat. We actually have two separate and distinct keys going on at the same time. The world of A major, the world of A flat major. If you put them together in the same place, it would sound terrible. But the way he voices it, it doesn't bother you. It's anything but ugly. And yet, wow, it breaks every rule in the rule book. And sometimes Debussy will use a scale called a whole tone scale instead of the traditional, normal, in quotes, major scale. You get this effect. It's actually very subversive, that scale, because there's no key. In a major scale, you can always know where your home note is. And then you're home. In a whole tone scale, you can really stop virtually anywhere and feel just as stable as anywhere else. So it creates this air of mystery. And a lot of Debussy's melodies use those whole tone scales. So gently, quietly, Debussy is almost like he goes into the giant circus tent of musical history and slowly pulls up the stakes one at a time. And people inside the tent didn't realize it, but the tent was about to collapse on him. An innovator, a very sensual composer, Claude Debussy.
Pianist and Wake Forest University Professor of Music's Peter Kiroff, teaching us in that effortless way that'd make even old Lenny Bernstein scream, bravo! This is Triad Arts Up Close. I'm David Ford, and I'd say it's time for a swim.
Ariel, listen to me. The human world, it's a mess. Life under the sea is better than anything they got up there.
The Children's Theater of Winston-Salem's Summer Playhouse will present Disney's The Little Mermaid Jr. tonight at 7 o'clock and Saturday, July 21st at 2 and 7 at the Arts Council Theater, 610 Coliseum Drive. The following weekend, the summer camp program presents Disney's 101 Dalmatians Kids for child actors ages 5 through 12. Enrollment at these incredible theater camps has grown tenfold in the past 3 years as parents and kids learn more about the amazing resources and teaching professionals on staff there. Here to share the secret to their success are Children's Theater of Winston-Salem General Manager Karen McHugh and Artistic Education Director Bobby Bodford. They're joined in the studio by Children's Theater actors Bea Howell, who plays Ariel, and her brother Steele, who plays Flounder in The Little Mermaid.
I want to be where the people are. I want to see Want to see him dancing, walking around on the...
Who is Little Mermaid? What's she like?
Well, she's really interested in humans and tools that they have.
She's curious about what's going on up there.
Yeah. I have 6 sisters, and my dad is the king of the sea, so I get a lot of special treatment, I guess.
Yeah. And Flounder, you guys have been friends. You go way back. Tell me about Flounder.
He's always got, energy in him, and he follows Ariel, and, wherever she goes, he goes.
Ariel's best friend, Flounder, is coming to say hello to her on the surface of the ocean, and Ariel is going to show Flounder something that she found.
Mm-hmm. Sounds interesting. All right, let's hear this read.
Hi, Ariel. Just look, Flounder, the sun, the sand. Isn't it the most beautiful place you've ever seen?
I don't know, Ariel. I'm not sure we ought to be up here.
Don't be such a guppy.
A guppy? I'm as brave as you are. I'm not afraid of anything.
What about sharks?
Where?
Oh, Flounder, you really are a guppy.
I am not.
Aw, you'll never guess what I found today. Look! Have you ever seen anything so wonderful in your entire life?
Wow, cool. What is it?
I don't know, but I bet Scuttle will. Come on, I'll race you.
Hey, wait for me!
You just capture my imagination right away, and I want to know what that is. Is it a nuclear submarine? No?
It's a fork.
Oh, it's a fork. How about that? What do you love about what you do, Steele, when you're acting, when you're up there on stage?
I like the comedy roles, so I like to make people laugh.
I bet you do. B, is this your first play? How long have you been acting?
I've been acting since I was 5.
How old are you?
I'm 12.
Oh, okay. Very good. And when you're in this particular role, how do you get in character and bring out Ariel? That's a pretty complex character.
Well, I usually read over the script a couple of times just to kind of figure out what's going on in the story. And if there is a movie, I might watch that. But if it doesn't relate to what's going on in the script, sometimes they're a little bit different. I don't really watch.
He would have died.
One less human to worry about.
You don't even know him.
Know him?
What are the considerations involved in paring down a show and making it really young person friendly?
The first thing you do with a musical, if you want to pare it down, is to take out 20 minutes of dancing in every number that happens only on Broadway, where they have the best dancers in the world. Shrink the scenes a little bit, take the songs and put them in ranges that are better for children, and it just makes the entire show more accessible. Having said that, they still leave all of the scenes in there, all of the scenery changes. It's still a full-scale Broadway musical edited down to 60 or 70 minutes. They still are doing a Broadway show. It's still Broadway music. It's still Broadway choreography, just a smaller amount of it.
Sure.
This show is really technical because we're on the surface of the ocean and we're underwater. Yeah. We have to sink a ship. And when the whole process is over, they've done a Broadway show.
My thanks to children's theater actors Bee Howell, who plays Ariel, and her brother Steele, who plays Flounder, in the hit Disney musical The Little Mermaid Jr. Hats off to children's theater general manager Karen McHugh and artistic education director Bobby Botford as well. Performances are tonight at 7 and Saturday, July 21st at 2 and 7 at the Arts Council Theater, 610 Coliseum Drive in Winston-Salem. The following weekend, the summer camp program presents Disney's 101 Dalmatians Kids for child actors ages 5 through 12. You'll find links to ticket information and more about the Children's Theater of Winston-Salem Summer Playhouse on our website, wfdd.org/triadarts. The Darnell Woodies are up next, and boy, are we going to have some fun, live in Studio A. Fiddler Brian Gallimore, guitarist, singer-songwriter Matt Smith, Brad Kokendolfer on banjo, mandolin, and some other neat stuff, William Von Reichbauer, bassist, and on drums, Reverend Doug Hawkins joins us. Together, they are the Darnell Woodies, and you can hear them live in concert and help them celebrate the official release of their brand new CD, Dancing on Your Grave, this Saturday night, July 21st at 9 o'clock at the Garage in Winston-Salem. You'll find links to ticket information and more at wfdd.org/triadarts. Matt, Brian, was this mix of punk and bluegrass the intention going into Darnell Woody's, or did it just happen? And if so, how? I'm hearing those sounds among many others, but those are that chord for me that I really appreciate as a listener.
It just kind of happened. I guess it was probably about 10 years ago. I kind of got out of show business and started learning different instruments and things like that, and you know, took lessons from Brian eventually, and we sort of shared an interest in, you know, in old-time fiddle music, you know, banjo and things like that. And just maybe about a year later, we started playing, you know, just old-time songs and things like that, and started writing stuff together, went through a couple different lineup changes, and it just sort of evolved from, you know, I come from a punk rock background in the 80s, and, you know, he has some of that in his history, and so it just sort of evolved.
And Brian, tell me about your history too, because I mean, you can't play fiddle that way unless it's in your blood somehow. Talk about your connection with the music.
Oh, well, I have a long family history of traditional musicians. Most of them were dead way before I was born, so I really couldn't tell you if they were really great or really bad. So, but my grandfather, you know, he was a big influence on my life, and he played a baritone ukulele, which is like a guitar without the bass strings. And, you know, it's kind of cool to see him because it's easy to get pigeonholed as a traditional musician. I only play this genre of music. I'm a bluegrass player and an old-time fiddle player. But you get around someone like my grandfather who really came of age in the 1950s, and you know, he would go play square dances, and then he would also listen to rock and roll with his friends, and he would listen to blues and stuff. And he just played what came natural to him. And you know, I grew up, I played a lot of punk rock, I played electric guitar, tried to play heavy metal but wasn't really good enough, and you know, got into fiddle, got into banjo. I messed around with classical music for a while, really hated it, and it just became something I did, you know, instead of just having, I only play Surrey County fiddle tunes. I love those tunes, and I love Cajun music, but what I grew up playing, the songs I grew up trying to make when I was younger, you know, just kind of all culminated together. It's just a lot of fun. It just feels right.
Man, it feels right for this area because, I mean, if you got a pair of ears and you hang out in the Piedmont Triad long enough, you're going to hear great blues that goes back a century and great jazz that started off way back when. And
playing this stuff when Brian's playing fiddle almost sounds like speed metal, especially like 20 paces. I mean, it's with acoustic instruments, but it's nasty. It's good stuff.
We just heard from Doug Hawkins, the drummer, and keeping it all together and making that sweet pocket is your stick work there. Doug, talk about your philosophy of drumming as it is. I mean, it seems like, from my listening, you're just setting a great pocket.
Get some. I mean, play what's right for the song, but, you know, just play with your heart, play with your gut.
Yeah. So what's happening here? What are we hearing first off the bat for Jezebel? Brad?
Well, it's Brian and me. I'm playing mandolin, and Brian's got the clawhammer banjo. And, you know, we're just trying to, like Doug said, play what's right for the tune. Brian takes that lead lick, and I just try to compliment him and back him up there and add a little harmony behind it.
All right. And we'll have some great bass, too, on this one. This is Jezebel of the Darnell Woody's, and the tune was written by Matt Smith, guitar and vocals.
1, 2, 3, 4... When I fell down and I went by the water, and I'd seen old beauties fade, the fall beneath this loaded gun and the holy mess I made. Well, I spoke myself to oblivion, and I watched your house burn down. Well, I would change the way I feel, so they ran me out of town. By the walls closing on desperate men, it don't bother me at all. Just Bella, hold them back from where you came. Just Bella, oh, remember well my name. Wake up, this cold out. outside as the blood ran from your vein. In the tired light we kiss goodnight, and it's a low-down, dirty shame. Jezebella, hold back from where you came. Jezebella, oh, remember well my name. Jezebella,
right, Jezebella. That's the Darnell Woodies live in Studio A, and man, I love that tune. It just bops along, and I call that a road trip tune. I could put that on and listen to it and cross the country with that on my car stereo. fighting words coming up. Next tune, Take My Gun Away. Is this another Matt original?
Yeah.
Set the scene for us on this tune, because pretty explosive stuff.
Title, you know, it's not really a gun control kind of thing. It's just sort of a metaphor for, I guess it could be, just sort of about anger and releasing anger, you know, in a blasting fashion. And also it's doom, destruction, addiction, and death are in there as well, like most of the songs. Yeah. But it's also, you know, got some pretty chords. And, you know, I don't know. It's one of those that I just sort of sat around for probably a month or two and just wrote out different things, and to try to get an emotion in the verses that was sort of cohesive and had a beginning, you know, and a middle and an end. And then Brian's solo in it, you know, when he started playing that, it was just like it lifts a lot and sort of provides, you know, even more tension and, I guess, sort of, you know, drama without being, you know, over the top, I guess.
Some great fiddle playing, and we're all going to be able to experience it live and up close and in person. Here in Studio A, can we grab our axes and get back in there? So this is the Darnell Woodies, and we're going to hear Take My Gun Away, another tune here by Matt Smith. Guitar and vocals is Brian Gallimore's fiddle, big solo up front and in the middle, and Brad Kokendorfer playing mandolin, William von Reichbauer on bass, and Reverend Doug Hawkins on drums. Go ahead, Take My Gun Away.
Ready?
Okay.
Swagger just like Judas, for that booty from the rail. Now Frosty is the winner and is coming right at you. This track's a long thing, and I believe I'm slipping through. I turned my head to the somber sky, and I kiss the ground, the dead leaves lie. Oh, it's no word warning, ain't nothing you've done. Take my gun away, oh, I hurt someone. Love led me to a thicket where I fell down at her feet. We're heading down a river where regret and reason meet. I'm sick and green within a dream of death and death alone. Well, I told you for the last time you gon' miss me when I'm gone. I turned my head to the somber sky, and I kiss the ground, the dead leaves lie. Oh, when things get too heavy, you can't always run. Take my gun away, well, I hurt someone. And my pistol ball to pack. Champions with the magistrate's mouth, which is
I mean, that is, it's a great fiddle tune in so many ways. I mean, it's great lyrically, and there's a whole lot there besides that. Anger management on steroids, but a great fiddle tune. At essence, if you love fiddle, we heard Take My Gun Away from the Darnell Woodies. Brian Gallimore, fiddle. Matt Smith, guitar and vocals. Brad Kokendolfer on mandolin on that tune. William von Reichbauer on bass, and Reverend Doug Hawkins playing drums. My thanks to the Darnell Woodies. You can hear them celebrate the official release of their brand new CD, Dancing on Your Grave, this Saturday night, July 21st at 9 o'clock at the Garage in Winston-Salem. Well, that's all for today's show. I sure hope you've enjoyed it. As always, I'd love to hear from you. Let us know what you're thinking on Facebook or Twitter, and you can always drop us a line at triadarts@wfu.edu. You'll find podcasts and archived episodes on our website, along with details about all the events we covered today. And again, that address is wfdd.org/triadarts. Our senior producer is Catherine Mobley, and our audio engineer is Eddie Garcia. I'm David Ford. Thanks for joining me today for Triad Arts Up Close.